Hogue?
Excused.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark Jensen?
Here.
John? Haverlip?
Here.
And Kurt?
Here.
Okay. All in attendance except for Mr. Hogue. So now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. It'll run over my cord here. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, need a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting on September 3rd.
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes for September 3rd. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, they're approved. We need amendments or approval for today's meeting agenda. Is there any amendments? Okay, seeing none, we'll take that the meeting is approved, the agenda for today. If there's no public hearings and bid awards, is there any visitors' views related to the agenda? Brian.
Item number
15. Okay, you wanted to speak to that now?
No.
Wait till it, okay. We'll take five here, see if we can get Mr. Walhooter and Haverlip back
online. Which one did
you want to lose? Both of by. So for those people listening on the radio, if it's coming through, we're having a little technical difficulty with our phone communications with two of our assembly members. So.
Hello.
Hi, John. You there?
Yeah, the cell phone reception is so poor, I don't know how long I'm going to last on this. So.
Just don't move, okay?
Okay, yeah, right. We've got it on computer, so I can hear the whole meeting.
All right, hold on.
Thank you.
Kurt, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Go.
Okay, we're on visitors' views related to the...
real low.
To the agenda, and Brian Lynch wants to speak to item 15. Remind me when we get there, Brian, if I don't recognize you. Is there any visitors' views unrelated to the agenda?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and the Assembly. I am just very excited to be here. Two weeks ago, I took our show on the road. A lot of times you see prevention programs, you don't see outcomes. You know, you're wondering, is this working? Are we making a difference? But I am very thrilled to report that we are making a significant difference in substance abuse and drug addiction. What we got going on my board, I'll just summarize really quick. It's three cycles. Each cycle was 3 years. We've held this behavioral health prevention grant for 9 years. The first cycle, we focused on children, and when we were doing our education, we were realizing they were getting mixed messages from adults, and so that's when we widened our scope of target population, and we started educating the community what is considered high-risk drinking. Suicide prevention started at that time, and also trying to stop illegal drug sales happening. This last cycle, we saw in the last 2 years, this is when the borough, well, city at the time, got very involved, and we were able to address the legal system where we were having so many cases dismissed or pled out. And, you know, we're thrilled to see that we have a new DA now because of what you all have done. I don't think I would have made that difference. I know I wouldn't have made that difference on my own. But the fact that the city stood behind us and really rallied together, we were able to get a DA. And that affects everybody. So now, you know, crime isn't paying anymore. People are getting charged. There are consequences, and that's going to help solve some of this drug problem in this town. So I just wanted to say thank you. The whole state loves us. They're just amazed at what we've done, and we're ahead of the curve. Everything's about coalition work now and environmental strategies, which we've been doing for years. So, you know, as normal, Petersburg is ahead. So I just thank you again, and I look forward to the next, this final year of the cycle and what we can do then.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Any more visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to board, commission, and committee reports. And we have a status report from Mr. Hagerman on the landfill slope stabilization project.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly.
Yeah.
I wanted to update the Assembly. Last week, we had some changes to the project, and it's been going fast and furious, so it's a good time to do that. Just a reminder on that the landfill project was developed to accept the dredge spoils from the North Harbor. The Corps of Engineers is doing the dredging, maintenance dredge in the harbor, and so we developed a project to accept those at the landfill, which is going to be beneficial to the landfill by covering up our metal pile that was an issue with DEC, and also setting us up with a larger area to store scrap metal on and operate, do some other operations at the site. Well, when the dredging started on September 12th, the character of the material was a little bit different than what we had imagined and designed for in our project. Probably best to call the material pre-fluid. And so it required us to take some immediate action to change how we were accepting it. Built some small retainage on the site to contain the stuff, and let it dewater additionally before we could put it on our slopes, the metal pile in particular, which seemed to work initially, but it fast became apparent that the production rate of the dredging was going to overwhelm that operation. So needing a more comprehensive containment system, we got with our engineer, put out an RFP to the contractor, Rock and Road Construction, and under the premise of building some rock containment at the site to retain this fluid material. And the initial design for that retainage was to use about 5,000 yards of borough-owned rock from our quarry to have the contractor haul it and place it, shape up the berm, and contain the stuff as it came up from the dredge, and hopefully not have to stop the dredging at all. So we got a proposal. I was in Sitka at the time at Southeast Conference, and so we did a lot of talk on the phone, got Steve on the phone, talked about this. It was definitely above his spending authority to this change. So he, although within the project budget, so he felt comfortable in pulling the trigger on the change with some notice to you folks on the Assembly. And he told me that he didn't get much pushback. So, you know, I hope that everything is good on that. But the result, of course, is that we were able to begin building retainage berms almost immediately as soon as the contractor could bring some equipment to town. He had all of his extra equipment in Wrangell, so we had to wait for that to come to town. But they were able to haul material from the quarry. And one very good thing about this project is that we had a lot of oversized rock on the floor of our pit that we really can't use for anything. It's too big to crush, and it's too big to put in roads and other things. So I estimated that we probably had a couple thousand yards of that material. I really underestimated. We probably put 4,500 yards of that material in the berm so far. So that is a really good use of that material. So Steve did sign off on this change with notice to you folks. We were able to get that going. At this point, we're about 65% built on the containment berm. As I said, about 4,500 yards of rock have gone up there. The initial estimate of 5,000 yards probably isn't going to do it, unfortunately. It may be up to 10,000 yards of rock. So it's changing almost every day with the quantity that we're seeing coming from the dredge. But as the berm is designed right now, or how we think it's going to go in, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to retain all the dredge spoils that are coming to us and not have to stop that operation. The berm is working very well. It's retaining some solids right now, even though it's not done. The spoils are being retained, and part of it, the bottom side of the berm has no cloudy water coming through it at all. There's water coming through, but it's clear. It's working very well, so that's a positive thing as well. Just to talk about the schedule a little bit, we're on track. The dredging contractor is on track to complete the work in the North Harbor Basin by October 15th. They will then move directly to areas in front of Ocean Beauty and PFI and start dredging on those areas, and hopefully have that done by November 1st or 2nd. At least the first week of November is their goal, and they believe they can achieve that. So that won't. What that means is that we'll be done hauling the material up to the landfill by the first week of November, but also that the North Harbor contractor, Western Dock and Bridge, will be able to move in on November 1st when they're allowed to come back into the harbor and start building the North Harbor replacement on schedule. So up at the landfill, we'll have to, because the original design that we had to use the spoils was great. It was going to slope everything out. We're going to have a nice big pad to work from. Well, that has obviously changed because all of this stuff wants to go to the bottom of the hill, not stay on the hill. So we're going to have to come up with some kind of plan when we get closer to the end of the dredging to set up a temporary work pad for the sanitation department to use over the course of the winter. In the springtime, there's a chance that the material will dewater and solidify enough that we can actually use it on the slopes that like we originally planned. But in any case, we'll have to come up with an alternate plan for project completion at the landfill to finish everything off. But that probably won't happen until the spring, that work. And talking with the Corps of Engineers, did make a site visit for the dredging project this week. We had a couple meetings with them. Was able to voice extreme concern over basically the change in material that we're seeing from what we thought we were going to get and what we are getting at the landfill. And although they sympathize and they feel for us, they're not a granting entity, so they can't write us a check to cover our extra costs. They can, and hopefully will, entertain some change to their contract with their dredging contractor to assist us with our berm work at the landfill. I'm trying to work through that. It's very complicated, of course, with contractors that are primes for the dredging, and a subcontractor that's for the dredging contract is hauling the dredge spoils as our prime contractor for the landfill contract. So it's all very complicated, and when you throw in the Corps of Engineers bureaucracy, it makes it worse. So going to try and push as hard as we can to get some relief on this extra cost that we're seeing for the construction of the berms. Hopefully that will come to fruition. The contractor for the dredging project is engaged, and he would like to help us out as well, but it's all got to be through his contract with Corps of Engineers. So it's complicated, but we're trying to get some relief as much as we can. So with that, are there any questions?
Any questions of Carl?
I have a question, Carl. Part of the project at the landfill was to cover the whole all of the slopes with the dredge spoils. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can utilize it after it sets up. That's the plan.
I think we will be able to. Even the sections that we've dumped and have set for a week have solidified quite a bit, and the contractor's able to bail some of that stuff out, and it does hold on the slope to a certain point. So I think if not by the end of the work this fall, by the springtime, we should have some usable material out of that, and we'll be able to finish what we need to. My primary goal at the landfill was to cover that metal pile. DEC has been bugging me about it for a few years. And so if we can get that done with that material, that would be great. To create the work pad for us to use to store scrap metal on before we have scrap metal removal contractors come in, it needs to be a pretty large area. We have a lot of metal that comes into the landfill, and so developing that site and making it work for the public and for the department might be a challenge, but we've got a lot of area up there, and we just need to work with what we have and try and make the best of it.
Okay, thanks. No more questions? Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. There's no items there. Report of other officers, I see none listed. Is there anybody who wants to give another report from the staff? Don't see any hands coming up. Okay, the mayor's report. We have a few items here. We have the first item is a letter of resignation from Ann Hurt on the library board, and I'd like to thank her for all her time on the library board. She's going to be moving away to Seattle. But we're going to be accepting letters of interest for that position. So if anybody's interested, send your name to the borough office. Okay, and then retention of boards and committees. Since this meeting was rescheduled, we have a new overall schedule for addressing the different boards. And the next meeting, October 7th, we will talk about Harbor and Ports Advisory Board, whether to keep that board or not. And October 21st, that's a 7 p.m. meeting, we'll be discussing Parks and Recreation and Public Safety Advisory Boards. And noon, November 4th, we'll be talking about the Library Board. So that's the new schedule for those events. Pappy's Landing Posting Board, we have permission from the state to use a section of the land out there, and I believe that's going to be addressed at the next meeting, which will be October 7th. It's kind of confusing here. All of our stuff didn't load onto the iPad, so I'm going back and forth. Alaska Municipal League will be held in Anchorage from the 18th to the 22nd of November, so anybody on the assembly that's interested in taking that in needs to make their arrangements for that. I'm currently planning on going, but we'll see what happens here in the next week. And then we have a support letter that was sent off to Alaska Energy Authority, looking for a grant, SEPA is, for studying the benefits of wind power in Southeast. So hopefully that'll work. There's a short letter that we sent off to them, and hopefully it works out. We support the SEPA's efforts to conduct these wind studies. That's basically the gist of the letter. The manager's evaluation, we'll have that. The member Logadakis and I met with the city manager. And we have recommendations. Things went well on his evaluation, which is, I think Steve's doing a good job. And we will talk about that, I believe, on the meeting on the 7th as well. I think that's when that's rescheduled. And tomorrow at 2 o'clock is the grand opening of the new Borough Public Library. So please attend. We have a few dignitaries in town, people that help get funding for the project, and there's some dancers from Cake that are going to be around, and they put a tent up, Public Works did yesterday, so rain or shine, you can come up and enjoy the festivities. There is no manager's report. Unfinished business. There is nothing from the court yet, the Superior Court, on the Juneau appeal of the Petersburg borough boundaries, so we're waiting for that. But like I said at the last meeting, that could take up to 6 months, so it could be a drug-out process. I hope not. No new news on the redistricting front. It looks like Fairbanks area still has some appeals, but our redistricting should go should be a change, and we won't be in with the downtown Juneau after next October. The next item is a memorandum of agreement between the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary and the Petersburg Borough regarding the utilization of, I guess it was Homeland Security funded landing craft, but it's belongs to the borough now, so we need to have discussion on that. So we need a motion to get that on the floor. Let me see what page it is on the paper agenda. That is actually up on the iPad. Yeah.
On page 13, we consider this memorandum of agreement.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Logadakis and seconded by Member Flint to authorize this memorandum of agreement between the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary and the Petersburg Borough. Any discussion?
What page is it on here? Because all it comes up is its
13.
Space.
Actually, it's on page 13 in the paper one.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I wanted to ask the Harbor Master if she's happy with this. Does this work for your department?
Yeah, we were presented with this idea through the city manager. Assembly manager, and he'd been working with, I believe, Bruce Jones, and came to us with this idea, and myself and Sandy Dixon sat down, and we expressed some of our concerns, and I think most of them have been reflected in this agreement, and so this is what's been presented. We have some concerns about, just a lot of parties using this vessel, and the harbor is kind of the lead on taking care of it and keeping it ship shape and making sure that everything's, it's used for so many different things that we're on the hook to do, kind of be responsible for it. And so, yeah, there's kind of a line that everybody has to follow to make sure that it's left in good shape for the next user group. So we stay on top of it, and all parties hear from me very regularly. And I get a lot of feedback. So,
any discussion by the assembly members? Cindy?
I am. Mr. Mayor, I only have one question, and I think it would be of value to clarify a notification process, because I don't see that spelled out here. Who would be contacted when the Coast Guard would use borough vessels? And I realize that there might not be a lot of lead time if it was an emergency situation, but it seems like there should be some protocol there, and it's not mentioned here.
Okay. What section would you like to see that added in? I have a concern as well, but it's not along those lines as trying to keep everybody up to speed on when they need to use the boat and get permission.
And I, under the Coast Guard Auxiliary section, I think might be. Oh, actually, it does say points of contact, Glow One. So they would be contacting you to schedule vessel use?
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, we have a policy that we drafted with all the different departments when we got this vessel, and everybody had buy-in, everybody had comment, everybody signed off on it, and there's a pretty direct line of communication.
Okay.
And we would expect that the Coast Guard Auxiliary would follow this. Not quite sure if they are following this or if they're just operating under this. And I would assure that they would probably follow the policy that it comes through our office, and mostly for the main reason of informing the dispatch, because that's kind of how the emergency side of it goes. It goes to the police or goes through dispatch to dispatch the fire or the police or EMTs or whoever needs to use it for those kind of deals. And so that's my main concern, is that dispatch is aware that it's offline and unavailable while it's being used for the Coast Guard.
And that agreement spells out
it's
that
it's spelled out in our policy,
then,
which
maybe
is...
We should reference it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be my recommendation.
So, yeah. This was written by the Coast Guard, and so I think we could probably make all sorts of changes and give it to them. And they would probably send it back, you know, back and forth between.
Sandy, do you have any comments on this since you're involved with the vessel for search and rescue? And
I think Glorianne hit most of it. And two of my concerns was, one, we as the borough are still paying for it and they're utilizing it. And so I thought, if we're paying for maintenance and issues and that kind of thing. But talking with Bruce Jones, I think we kind of worked that out. And then emergency response. That was a big concern of mine, is how often are they going to be using it? And then it is the auxiliary, mind you. It's not the Coast Guard. So they shouldn't be taking it on the spot like that. There should be a little bit of warning. And so my concern was, we can't plan for emergencies. So we can't, you know, we're going to schedule the boat during this time for emergencies. So my concern was that they were going to have the boat when we needed it. And if that happens, which would be very rare, I'm sure, because they have scheduled trainings and missions that they do, so we'll know what they're doing. And it would be like, if we had to take it offline for maintenance or another user group was using it, then I think we would just go to our old way of doing it and find other means of transportation. But I believe, I felt better after our conversation, the meeting we had with the manager and Bruce and Glow and myself, that's going to be pretty minimal. So I think as long as we keep the lines of communication open, I think we'll be okay.
Does the chief have any concerns of the memorandum of agreement?
I wasn't really involved in the process much, Mr. Mayor, but I would agree with Sandy. I would have the same concerns, and it sounds like they've worked through those contingencies fairly well. I have talked with the state troopers here and also with NOAA, and their boats would be available in the event our boat was down and we had some sort of emergent situation.
Okay, thank you. Rod, would you like to say anything on behalf of the Coast Guard Auxiliary? You're here representing them, or...?
Other than if there's questions,
I can answer. Okay. My only concern was kind of along the lines of Sandy's, was that under responsibilities, the boroughs, the first one was, we'll provide the surplus vessels and we do all the maintenance and upkeep on it. So I guess if a motor's going to blow up, it could blow up when we're using it instead of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. So it could be pretty expensive. That I don't know what the 250s are, whatever they cost, but I don't know what a person could do to put some kind of a share in the cost burden that the borough is going to experience, possibly. And another place in the agreement, it talks about the Coast Guard, if they have funding to use it. I don't know if you're going to be going out every twice a month, or is there a scheduled use for this, Rod? Can you?
Basically, I'm Rod Herbranson with the Preesburg Flotilla Commander. Basically, what Bruce has come up with, we want to use it two weekends a month for our training. And those are scheduled ahead of time through orders. We don't just pick next weekend and take off. We have to have orders from Sector Geno before we can use the boat. Right now, funding is very, very tight, and so we don't know whether we will get funding to do orders two times a month, because they pay for the fuel. And if they're not going to pay for the fuel, we're not going to use the boat. So the plan is, if the funding becomes available, yes, we will try to use it two times a month for training operations or patrols year-round. That's what the initial plan is. Right now, we only have one crew. To be able to use the boat, we have to have a coxswain and two boat crew. Myself and Dennis Biggs are the only crew members now qualified, and Bruce is a coxswain. So we can't use the boat. We can't do anything with it unless we have us three on the boat. So that's the other reason we would like to have the use of a boat, so we can train more individuals so we can use it, you know, that type. But it doesn't just happen, you know, we just call them and say, hey, we want to use a boat. It doesn't happen that way. We have to have orders ahead of time planned, and we would contact whenever we use a boat. We have the orders. We get ready to use the boat. We contact Juniper, tell them we're on orders, what we're doing. And I think at the same time, we would probably contact dispatch, tell them the boat's in use, and this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. And then when we come back from orders, we would contact them and say boat's back in service.
Okay, so if you are out on an order, or whatever you got ordered, to go do a trip, if in the middle of that trip, if you were, say, for instance, in Scow Bay and there was someone here to talk, could you abort your plan and go help, or would you have to?
The only what we would have to do is we'd have to contact Juno and say there's a situation where the boat needs to be used by search and rescue or the city. We would abort our mission, return, and then whoever is responsible. Me and Dennis would basically get off the boat,
okay,
and then if whoever is responsible for that call would take the boat and respond.
Right, thanks. Any other questions? Kurt and John, are you hearing the conversation we're having?
Yes.
Okay. Another thing in the last
I'm
part of the...
You there, Mark.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm following it.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. The last item on the under other provisions, termination, it could be terminated by either party with 30 days written notice. So if it doesn't seem to work out, it'd be pretty easy to change. Is there any more discussion? Nancy?
Anybody? No, that clarifies that. My only question.
Okay, I was wondering if we should add an item F to the Coast Guard Auxiliary section saying that they should follow the harbor policy governing the use of that boat. Would that be helpful? Are you guys aware of that policy?
Yes, Bruce is aware of it. And as far as qualifications for us to use the boat, the qualifications that we have to go through are much higher than any of the city qualifications.
So maybe we don't need it?
So you're comfortable if we put that in here that you wouldn't have any problem meeting those requirements?
Okay.
Mostly the policy is just, you know, how to go about firing the engine up, you know, idling, all of that kind of stuff, putting it into practice, but also then also tying the boat up and making it available for the next emergency situation. You don't tie the boat up, go home, and then in the next day or two come and fill it back up with fuel that you use. You do it, you know, prior to tying up, those kind of issues.
Okay.
We have an agreement with Petro that they'll stay open for us, or they'll come down, you know, if it's an emergency situation, and fill us up, just so that she's always ready to go. Some of those are my concerns, that, you know, she's supposed to be available, up and ready for at all times, and it should always be that way. Thanks.
Thanks, Cole. Any more discussion on this issue? Will the clerk call the roll?
Okay, and this is with the amendment saying they must follow our existing policy.
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Okay, passes 5-1. Okay, next item on the agenda is authorization to submit the capital projects list to the governor, and then we'll go from there to the legislature. And there's a letter involved or attached to it, and I won't bother to read it. It's just basically thanking the governor for his help to our municipality with funding for projects in the past. So I'd entertain a motion to approve sending this to the governor and the legislature when it convenes.
Move. Okay.
I'm sorry, I haven't read. I just got back town and I haven't read it yet. So
then maybe I could have just authorized it, but I'd like the assembly to vote on it. So
yeah,
it's been moved by Member Logadakis, seconded by Member Flint, to authorize the authorization to submit the capital projects list to the governor's office. And it's what we discussed at our last or a few meetings ago, the prioritization of it, and a few things have been changed, but. Any other discussion? Kurt and John, have you seen the list? I'm sure you have.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I've looked it over, and I think that looks good.
Okay, well, Seeing there's no more discussion, will the clerk call?
Have all our department heads and everybody there, is everybody in agreement?
I believe so.
Yeah, they're nodding, yes.
I can't remember if it was a meeting when you were gone, Nancy. We discussed this with the manager here. And
I don't think I've missed a meeting. I think this is the meeting I would have missed. You didn't. This is the second meeting in the month, right?
That's right, yeah.
So, right, but yeah. I thought we discussed this
here
before. All right, good. Okay, clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
And John?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0. Okay, the next item is new business, and item A under that is ordinance number 13-014, an ordinance providing for chapter 4.36 of the municipal code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. Basically, this just mirrors the old city ordinance and changes wording to make it borough friendly. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance in its first reading.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Strand to adopt ordinance 2013-14 in its first reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
And Sue?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0. Ordinance 13-015 is our next item on the agenda, and it's an ordinance providing for Title VI of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. And basically the same thing. It pretty much mirrors the old city ordinance. It's on business taxes, licenses, and regulations, just changing wording, basically. So entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2013-15 in its first reading.
So moved.
Been moved by Member Strand. Can we have a second?
Second.
Been seconded by Member Flint to adopt ordinance 2013-15 in its first reading. Any more discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
And Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, the next item is resolution number 13-021, and this is a resolution informing the Wrangell Assembly that the Petersburg Assembly accepts SEPA's August 19th 2013 offer or similar to be negotiated to take over Thomas Bay Power Authority costs at Tyee and urging Wrangell Assembly to do the same. That's the short title. Entertain a motion to adopt ordinance or resolution 2013-21.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Flint, to adopt resolution 2013-21. Is there any discussion on this?
It was pointed out to me that the title of the resolution is not entirely captured in the finally resolved paragraph, and I'm trying to look at that and see if that's the case, that it doesn't address absorbing the non-net billable.
I mean, there isn't a whereas for that.
It's the final paragraph.
Oh.
Addresses the unfunded PERS liability would be the exceeding $750,000 would be the liability of the city and borough of Wrangell, and that Petersburg would not fund future non-net billable. It doesn't say anything about the present non-net billable.
The money that Wrangell has expended to date
right.
This year?
Yeah,
since we've
that one piece is, I think, still missing.
Let's take a few minutes to look at it.
What are you thinking about that? Current non-net billable.
that we would accept SEPA's offer. I think the question that was raised to me was, don't we need to spell out each of those pieces? And we really didn't address that one piece of the current non-net building.
I thought in our discussions at the joint meeting with the Wrangell Assembly, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Trey was even involved in this, Trey Atkinson, CEO from SEPA, in the discussion. Maybe it was held after the meeting, but that SEPA would probably pick up Wrangell's expenditures to date. So did we? Is that how you want to change it and add that
just
in here?
To spell that out.
Or in
that
the
that's
final,
our understanding.
In this final
right.
paragraph. Right.
How would Kathy, maybe you could help us here. How do you think that would be worded properly?
Let's put in number three.
That just says SEPA will fund the current non-net billable.
Expended by Wrangell. Mm-hmm. We
for this
denied.
Year.
Correct.
Okay.
I see we have our SEPA reps in the audience. Do you have any comments, Joe?
I don't. I thought the assembly was very clear on the funding this year, present non-net billable, and not approving the budget.
Okay, thank you. So how would you have that worded, Kathy?
I thought I'd put on here, SEPA will also fund the 2014 non-net billable currently being paid by Wrangell.
Okay, so we could consider that added to this resolution then. Any more discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Okay, this is as it's amended.
Correct.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
And Sue?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0. Now we're on to item D under new business, and this is receipt of non-compliance report on dangerous buildings and scheduling of a non-compliance hearing or hearings. Leo, would you like to speak to this? Just give us a brief rundown.
Yes, I would, Mayor. I notified owners of the buildings at 111 Wrangell Avenue and 701 Joa that I had determined these buildings to be dangerous buildings and gave them a timeline to come into compliance with building codes. Both of these notices went unheeded. I was contacted by both owners, one just prior to this meeting, and said they're aware of the situation. They are dealing with it, trying to deal with it, but they had no firm plans, no firm timeline. Lacking that, I'm asking the Borough Assembly to schedule a non-compliance hearing, and I will be asking them to order the repair, vacate, or demolish of the buildings.
Okay, thank you. And we have to give them 40 days from today?
30-day notice was recommended by the city attorney. She suggested 40 to allow the notices to go out, and I would also like to notify all property owners within 600 feet of these structures so they can have their chance for input.
Okay, thank you. So if we put that on our November 4th meeting, that would be more than adequate, or?
I think I'd go to the 18th just to assure you that time.
Okay.
The second meeting, would that work?
Yes.
Yeah, I think your second meeting in November would, I guess, be best.
There would still be time for the owners to deal with this, which would be much less expensive for them than going through this process, but it'd be nice to schedule and keep moving along.
Giving them a little extra time, maybe it'll help the situation.
One can hope, yeah.
Okay, so we have scheduled a non-compliance hearing for November 18th.
Kathy, isn't that during the AML meeting?
Good point, it is.
No? It is.
I was going to bring that up under...
Well, AML starts after that.
18th to the 22nd.
Yeah. But it's on the 18th, Monday.
So Monday is the 18th, yes. Yeah.
But to go to Anchorage.
Then the last Municipal League conference takes up that entire week.
It's November.
And then the following week is Thanksgiving.
But not until Thursday.
28th.
We could do it Monday, the 25th.
Yeah, we could sure do that. So maybe we should reschedule the meeting, second meeting of November till the 25th, and schedule the hearings for that meeting.
They'll be gone. Leo will be gone.
Oh.
And I'll be visiting family. Would it be possible to do it prior to the 18th? There's still plenty of time for notification.
Well, I suppose we could have a special meeting to address it.
Just address that?
Yeah. That's a good deer hunting week, though. We can't be working that in there.
First meeting of December?
Would the first meeting of December be too late? I mean, it gives them a little more time as far as you're concerned, Leo. Would that be a...
Which date is that?
December 2nd.
That'd be fine. I would like to keep moving on this, but that would work.
Okay. Travel. Everybody's going to be here and there. So, all right. We'll still think we need to reschedule the second meeting in November till the 25th, and because of the Alaska Municipal League, and then we'll address this hearing on December 2nd.
Is everyone going to the Municipal League meeting?
Cindy and I probably are. That would leave 5. Are you going to be in town?
I'll be here.
I'll be
I
in
went
town.
Last year, okay. So I don't
need to. Let's, I think we should leave it like we scheduled it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
There was a comment here from the audience.
Oh.
That doesn't work for me. I live next door to the one on Rainbow Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Written testimony, maybe?
That'd be fine if I'm allowed to do that.
Yes, we would allow that. Yes, and we will read the letter into the record. Thanks, Max. Okay.
So December 2nd, at that meeting, you're having the hearing?
Yes.
Okay. And leaving the November 18th meeting the way it's supposed to be?
No, changing that to the 25th.
Oh.
Well, no, we don't have to. Let's leave it as a schedule. There should be a quorum here.
Very good.
It takes 4 of them. Mm-hmm. And we could always call in, I guess, but that doesn't constitute a quorum if you're not here in person, so... Okay, the next item, E, under new business, authorization to move the drive down commercial dock facility to final design and bid phases. I'd entertain a motion to allow that authorization.
I move we authorize the drive down facility
to move into the final design.
Move into final design.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Member Flint, seconded by Member Strand, to give authorization for the manager to move the drive-down dock into the final design and bid phases. And if you look at the document that came with that 95% plan, there's, I think we have $10.8 million, if I'm not mistaken, in the bank for it. And it's with all of the... additions or alternatives on it. I think there were 7 of them. It'd be $11.8 million, but the North Harbor was quite a bit under the engineer's estimate, the bid was. So hopefully it all comes in under bid and we could add some of those alternatives. So any other discussion?
No.
Clerk, call the roll.
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
And Mark.
Yes. Okay. Brings us to item 15, which is communications. Brian, you wanted to talk to this?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I think I'm getting a cold, so I can get through this. you have in your packet... So communications here, and a couple of them are from PVOA, I'm the executive director of Petersburg Vessel Owners. a couple of them are from PVOA addressing the same concerns that the borough had on the use of pesticides and herbicides on borough property. I was just kind of curious, wondering what the thoughts of the assembly are on going forward with this, if you might be contemplating an ordinance to require approval by the assembly for application, broad-based application of herbicides or pesticides, or where, if anybody has even been thinking about this and where you might be going. We would like to encourage the borough to pursue something like that, so there's more input from the community and from the fishing industry on the use of these chemicals for pest and plant control. Just wondering where you might be coming from on this.
Well, as far as currently, I know the one of our previous meetings we had discussion on this, and this was an avenue we were going to take, was the letters, and it appears like it's not working with the response we're getting from DOT, which doesn't really surprise me. But it was discussed to draft an ordinance, a borough ordinance to that effect, I believe, at one of our meetings. I know the Alaska mayors have drafted a resolution to send to the state, and I don't know if that'll have any impact or help DOT to listen to our concerns. And I've also had a phone call from Representative Curtula the other day. She's back east this week. Otherwise, she would have been here for the library meeting, and she's going to look into it and see what she could do from her position to urge the DOT to work more with the communities. And Cindy, did you have any discussions on this issue when you were in Sitka for Southeast Conference?
Just among, you know, the different communities, and I think we all have the same concern and frustration with DOT. You know, there was some talk about passing ordinances might not pass legal muster to try and constrain the state from doing the spraying on their right of way. I don't know. I don't think anybody wants to try and sue the state, but that's almost what it's stacking up to be. The responses that we've gotten are pretty unresponsive. Basically just pointing back to their integrated pest management plan and saying, you know, read this chapter, read this paragraph, and leaving it at that. So that really leaves us between a rock and a hard place. I mean, we could try and pass an ordinance, but I would want to ask our council if it was even worth our time to do that.
Oh, our borough attorney?
Right.
That would make sense to me, but...
Okay, well, thank you. I really, that being the case, it's probably kind of a wait-and-see thing right now. I won't add any more comments. You know, if this comes up again, maybe be here or providing some sort of testimony on where... Maybe we as an organization would like to see this go. So.
Right. Well, I had a conversation with another legislator about this DOT issue and their responsiveness to communities and their desires, and it's kind of disconcerting to find out that even if the legislature gives them direction, they go off and do their own thing anyway. So I guess that kind of gives me a feeling of what position we're in, which is, you know, don't really like it. So we'll see how this issue moves forward from here, I guess.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Brian. Any more comments?
Would that be an item for AML, or is that sort of out of there?
I think there's going to be a panel that's going to be formed by the Conference of Mayors at the AML function, and it's going to be they're inviting legislators that want to participate, and then there's going to be mayors asking them questions. So. In fact, there's a teleconference at 1:30 I might go partake in, and I could bring that up if I make it in time.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be a good one.
Yeah, we'll see if that gets us anywhere. At least maybe if you bring the concern at a statewide level from, you know, municipalities all over the state, maybe they'll listen or act like they're listening.
Yeah, thank you. One thing I would like to bring up here again, I attended last night's presentation of the draft Petersburg Weed Control Plan, and it was really interesting, and I would encourage... the assembly to try to get him back down here so he can provide another presentation, especially if this gets moved on to an
to an ordinance format or whatever. I think you need to look at this in the control of invasive species and what's involved there. I think it's really important. Invasive species are a pretty are a global problem right now, and they're very severe, and some of them are very detrimental to not only plants but fish and wildlife and whatnot. So I would encourage you to do that at some point, because we only had like three members of the public here with the Forest Service and KFSK, so there were like five of us sitting there. So, but it was very interesting, very informative. So.
I was just going to add, Mr. Mayor, I talked to Brian beforehand because I was involved in putting on the concert last night, so I had some other obligations, but he was reiterating to me that invasive species are the concern and they don't just stay on the roadside, and so that's the point of wanting to control them, you know, on that, on those right-of-ways, but we had a lot of discussion about DOT's not including public input in this process, and I think it causes them concern because it puts soil and water conservation really right in the middle, and they're not the one taking that position.
Yeah, exactly.
They're more the messenger of the plan.
Right. I, you know, like listening to that and knowing how invasive species affect fish populations and whatnot, it may be necessary to have to use herbicides in the control of invasive species, but I would, my little opinion here would be to try to severely limit that use to those
right.
species,
mm-hmm.
not use them
not
just for clearing
everywhere.
Right away. You know, I think that's going, you know, above and beyond where you really need to go. So anyway, all right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brent. Okay, yes, Kurt.
This is John.
Oh, John.
I wish I was Kurt. Anyway, I was wondering, could we at least ask the state to follow federal standards? The Forest Service has thousands of more miles of roads, much more than the state, and they wouldn't consider doing this type of spraying. Can't that be set up as some sort of standard?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what standard you're talking about, John, but I mean, if it...
Well, the Forest Service, when they've talked about going out and doing spraying, they talk about doing very, like, people with backpacks, very specific spraying of invasive species that are very targeted. It's not this mass spraying where you have Roundup going into streams and creeks that are salmon use.
I suppose we could look into the what the federal standards are. I don't know. Any other ideas from the assembly?
No. An herbicide. If you're spraying, if the invasive species is in a single stream, I think no matter who sprays it, it's going to introduce toxins. Hard to say. It'd be interesting to see what the federal policy is.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
If I may, they also have an integrated pest management plan, and they do have to go through a public process, so they try to pick the, you know, if they can do a mechanical means, they will do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they try to be very targeted about where they go. To my knowledge, in Alaska, I don't know of any broad-scale spraying that the Tongass has done, nor the Chugach has done. I think it's very limited in time and place.
How would you propose that we present this to the state, John?
Well, I would just ask them to follow the same, since the feds have, again, thousands more miles of roads than the state, and they don't follow this practice. There's got to be a legitimate reason that they don't. That we say that the state should at least adhere to federal guidelines, since they own most of the area.
Okay, Mr. Lynch is back at the podium here. What,
yeah,
Brian?
Mr. Mayor, the Forest Service goes through, right now they are in the process of an environmental assessment on the spraying program that they have in the Petersburg area right now. Any of these spraying programs, they have to go through an environmental assessment. I would suggest that if you're going to go this route, that you definitely bring somebody from the Forest Service, either Jason Anderson or somebody else that's knowledgeable of this, in here and discuss it. I would really recommend that. Thank you.
Did you hear that, John?
I'm sorry, no, I didn't.
Brian was just suggesting that we bring someone from the Forest Service that can explain the their procedure for this, and that it might get us more up to speed on it. And he said, "You're going."
Yeah, because I've gone to some of the Forest Service meetings, and you know, like I said, they are very targeted in what they do, and they don't do end this mass spraying, especially in the creeks and streams. And if we could just ask the state to adhere to federal guidelines, yeah, I think we'd be way ahead on this issue.
Well, maybe on the October 7th meeting, we could invite Jason from the Forest Service to come, or somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Jason called the other day, and he's ready to come anytime to talk about any subject, so I will let him know that. Just so you guys know, too, Brian, that was here last night for the invasive plants, we made the offer for him to come here today, and he didn't want to. I think he thought it was going to be hot and heavy on the DOT thing. So.
Okay. All right, thanks.
See if he'll make one to you guys eventually.
Does that work for you, John, if we have that scheduled for the first meeting? You'll be back, right? You get back on the 4th?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, thanks. Okay, where are we? We're at Alaska Municipal League request for letters or resolutions of support and regarding transportation in the state. Have we done anything in support of this, Kathy?
I don't think we have officially.
So if we were to draft a letter for transportation to try to get support from the legislature or the governor's office, in my mind, it would be something to ask for a better ferry service, but we know how that...
We got on board with Southeast Conferences,
right.
Which is very, very similar.
So we've already sent a letter along those lines, so I guess we've basically addressed this. Reading through it again here. And maybe this is something we could talk about at Alaska Municipal League.
We could, if you want, we can just a little bit rephrase the thing we did for Southeast Conference and send it in to AML.
That'd be good.
Yeah. And they actually have a letter here, the Alaska Municipal League resolution, that I imagine they're going to be talking about in November. And they've got a kind of a letter here where you could fill in the blanks and send to the governor if you want to. So you'll draft something up?
Yeah, Kathy. And I can have it on your next agenda if you'd like to.
That'd be good.
All right.
Okay, assembly discussion items. I see none listed. Is there any discussion by any assembly members?
Sue? I have a concern, and maybe it's been addressed. I have been watching children go to the new library after school. There are no crosswalks on the block with the library. Is anybody talking about that, or is there a plan? I know that's a state highway, isn't it?
Chief, do you have any response to that? Or
We've discussed it a little bit on the Public Safety Advisory Board, and the DOT has been approached. I think that there is a crosswalk that is at 3rd.
Is that right?
That's right. That needs to be repainted, and they're considering a crosswalk at 2nd, I believe.
Yes.
That crosswalk on 2nd probably will be included in the Haugen Drive upgrade project, which actually doesn't happen until 2015.
If you could paint some white lines there, it would help.
Well, maybe we could do like they do in downtown Juneau for all the tourists. They wait till enough of them school up on the curb, and then they go out with a stop sign and stop traffic, and they let the people by. Maybe it could be a school function. We used to do that.
The safety
the high
cross.
School. Had kids participate in that. So
perhaps we could find some volunteer miscreants to paint it under cover of darkness some night.
Anyway.
Okay. Any more discussion items? Thanks for bringing that up, Sue. Recognitions. Any recognitions by anybody? I guess that brings us to item 17, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
That's John.
Don't move.
Okay. I think we all agree.
This is Kurt.
Oh. Kurt, good job.
Thanks, you guys, for calling in.